Welcome to the Moms in Real Estate Podcast, where you will hear all things real estate, mom life, marriage, dating, kids, and all the wild things life throws our way. I'm Jamie Cameron.
I'm Sarah Greco.
And I'm Sonia Biconti.
Join us on this crazy adventure every Monday. It's like someone lit your soul on fire. Always burning with desire, can't extinguish it. Hello, hello, guys.
Hi.
How's everyone doing today? Have we had a crazy week this week or
yeah. Batch it.
So hang on. I think everyone needs to hear when we entered this room and we're like, okay, what's today's topic?
What's our topic? Okay, our topic. So the title today is get out of the rocking chair. And the word is stress, right? Quote was, whining is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere.
I like that.
You guys stress.
And this week was stressful.
How about you, Sarah?
Yeah.
Tell me about your week.
All right. I'll start, but I feel like mine was pretty tame comparatively.
Jamie takes the cake.
I think so. So maybe she can go last. it just feels like every time I'm like ready to go, I've got a babysitter lined up. I'm got everything ready to go. Like, there's a curveball thrown, right? Yeah, it feels that way, doesn't it?
Always.
I'm all excited to get back into work, get into the office. And it started with Owen getting croup. You know, like seal cough that he's got.
It's so scary too, right?
And when they're little, they don't understand. You can't explain it to them. So we're like up all night. And then the next morning, they're like, just sort of watch it. Because when they get older, they don't prescribe the steroid anymore. They don't give it to them anymore. But when they're little like that, they still need it. So like, oh, but we want to give it some time and before we give it to him. So another day goes by again. He's got that croupy cough. So then we're home day two. Mm-hmm. Mike was already out for so much work because of pneumonia and the other kids' stuff that he couldn't miss it. So it was on me, as we know. So he started to finally get better. And then, oh my God. So then Mike was coming down the stairs the other day. I think it was Friday morning. And he was carrying Mia, and he didn't see that there was like a library book that was like, you know, they had those slippery covers.
Yes.
Didn't see it. So his foot, his one foot stepped on it, slid forward. He was trying to protect her, went down, and fractured his ankle.
Oh my God.
So I'm driving. So get the kids to everywhere they need to be. And thankfully I was like, great, we don't have anybody with us today. Cause normally on Fridays I have the kids.
Yeah.
Drive them to urgent care. And I'm like, oh my God. He's like, I either broke it or I fractured. Like something happened to this. Something happened. And they're like, yeah, you have it fractured. So we can't even see the ortho until this Thursday. Oh. So today's Monday.
Make him wobble around until.
So that's the other thing. So he hasn't been able to do anything because he can't lift. He's on crutches and he's got like a little knee scooter.
Oh.
But like he really can't do much. So it's been like a freaking whirlwind at home.
Well, yeah, I bet you're exhausted.
Well, that's it. And it's like he can't do the nighttime. Usually he helps with the nighttime stuff, but you can't hobble out of bed and go help Owen. So it's been a little nutty.
Are you tired?
Thankfully last night Owen slept through the night. I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, because you needed it.
I think it
nothing
was
feels as good as when you get that the whole night, right?
And it's so far and few between because he's still kind of getting into that pattern of sleeping through the night that I'm like, when is this going to end?
But it ends, girl.
It does.
Thank God. You get on the other side, I promise.
Oh, but God,
I need it.
You feel like it's so far in the distance.
Right? Are we ever really?
Hello out there.
Yeah, so, no, I get it. So my son had Achilles lengthening surgery and he's been in his cast and on his crutches. So he used to help me the most in the house. He would take out the trash. He would help with the girls. Like if I needed something, like, hey, can you do this, Brady? Because he's the muscle, right?
He's amazing.
He's the man. Well, I've been doing all of that on top of taking care of him now and the two girls and the dog. It's a lot.
And being a single mom.
And I was down and out this week. I had a respiratory infection. I probably would have, never went if Jamie didn't force me.
Just do it before
she went to the
You weren't going to take yourself there?
No.
you know how that is.
So I, like,
I said, go.
I'm literally right, at chair. So I'm literally at chair with one and dropping the other one off. Got to get, pick her back up because they're at different times. Yeah. And it's like a half an hour or so, or an hour difference. And I'm like, I'll just, I'm, I said to Jamie, I'm just staying home tomorrow. I don't, like, I couldn't even talk. She called me and I was like,
it, well, it's miserable when you have that. And it can turn into pneumonia.
That's why I
do
said.
Do you know what they
you
said?
You had pneumonia.
Yes. Do you know what they said to me?
What?
Good thing you came and it's not in your lunch yet.
Right.
She was like, you are, they were going to put me on a steroid because I'm all swollen.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Anyways.
It could have been, like, way worse.
If I waited,
if you had waited even a more day,
it would have went one more day. It would have went to pneumonia. 1,000%.
And that, once it gets in there, it's, like, impossible.
It's impossible.
It's like,
right?
It takes forever.
Right. And it's draining when you're sick taking care of three kids. Because
I was
going to
say, how would you do that on your own?
You don't. I can't. Like, you physically, like, and I said this to my friend who has a husband and another, she has two children. And she was like, oh, she has hand, foot, and mouth. And I was like, girl, I get it. And I was like, I don't, because she's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I don't even know how I do it. When you're, unless you're in it by yourself,
right,
you can't really imagine, because it's like all falls on you and you don't get to be sick.
No, you don't.
You really don't.
Right. Well, I'm trying to put myself in your shoes going, what do you do? Can you ask your exes for help? And like,
no, they're too far away.
Oh my God.
Unless I'm like in the hospital, then they've helped out. But like, no, so it sucks. But then you look at it and you're like, it's really not that bad. I'm sick. I'll get through it. Because that's when I'm going to segue into Jamie's week. Because my week is nothing compared to Jamie's
week. We're going in order.
So basically, like, whenever she'd be like, I'm worried about you. No, she goes, are you feeling okay? I was like, fuck me. I was like, dude, I'm worried about you. I'm not sleeping over you.
Yeah.
So that was Wednesday when I went to urgent care. But Tuesday, I get a text.
No, Monday night.
Monday night, I get a text from Jamie saying a picture of our good old Apple Watch saying my heart rate is at 130. I can't get it down, or 150.
Yeah, so Monday night, thank goodness I am relo here. So my family lives in Northern Virginia. And so they were visiting, and this was a blessing. Because I don't have family to help soup in if something happens.
Her friends are her family at
for
this
sure.
point.
Right,
yeah,
for sure. Right. And so this was Monday evening, early
Please
evening.
Know that I'm here. Like, I want you guys to understand that I am here too. Like,
Thank you.
Literally 15 minutes away from you.
Yeah, I would have went to her house that night. I would have just packed up my kids and went to her house that night and stayed with her boys.
So Monday afternoon-ish. You know, we recorded that day.
We did, yeah.
And you remember I was kind of congested. I wasn't like feeling all that
you
great.
You looked like a tired to me, but I was just like,
she kept saying to me, I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
That's what she was saying. I'm exhausted.
I'm
and I said,
really
I don't
tired
feel good
today.
Either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm really not feeling that great. So I went home and my parents weren't anyway. So I just sat on the couch. I was laying on the couch. My mom was on the other couch. We were watching a program on TV. I felt fine, other than like normal mom or cold stuff going on. All of a sudden, my Apple Watch lit up. Like, I'm not talking like beep. No, it like vibrated, turned fluorescent red, was like shaking and buzzing.
It's hot in here. I feel like I've got like chills right now.
And it was, and I was like, oh my God. I looked down and it said, it's been indicated that your heart rate has been over 120 for a consecutive of 10 minutes while you are in a resting state. So tell I wasn't moving. You know how they, you fit, fit you
it
know.
It knows that, if you're not moving around.
Right.
Do you have an Apple Watch?
I'm literally going to buy one today.
Yes. So
it tells you, because I got one because I had tachycardia. I had a heart issue as well. And that's the only reason I got one.
So I was laying there and it did that. And I was like, oh, this is weird. I was like, I feel fine. So I sat up and I was like, huh. It went up again. I checked it again. It went up again. I was like, huh. And I texted. I was like, something's weird going on.
So she took Allegra D and I was like, it could be the Allegra D because that can sometimes.
But I had taken it.
But then.
Earlier.
And then I was like, if it does this for more than an hour, go to urgent.
Absolutely. At this point, it's an hour and a half. So my husband walks in and I was like, I don't mean to alarm you, babe, but I think I'm having a heart attack. We should go to urgent.
That's what you said to him.
I did. I said, I think we should go to urgent care. Backstory for another day. I have a history of blood clots. I've had a severe case of them. So
we'll tell that on pregnancy.
That's a pregnancy
labor
stories
day.
Later. Oh yeah, that would be a Labor Day post.
We'll do it on Labor Day.
Quite literally, a
Labor Day closed. So I immediately thought, oh no, I threw another clot. Like that's what was in my head. So I was like, you know what, just to be safe, let's just go to urgent care. I swear to you, I thought I was going to walk in there, they're going to say, your Apple Watch is stupid, it's way off, it's not even accurate, whatever.
It's the most accurate thing.
And I was like, fine.
Hey, Apple, do you hear this?
I know.
Literally.
Sponsor us, please. So right before, you know how you get up on that bench, it's crackle, crackle because the paper's under your butt, and I'm sitting there. I checked it right before. It was at 154 at that point. They do the blood pressure cuff, the finger thing. 154. It was exactly what my watch was saying. They were like, okay, we're going to take you in this back room real quick and put an EKG on you. You know, they do it, all of that. They move the screen, like, can you hold your breath? And I hold my breath. Can you bear down? I bear down. They're like, okay, can you, we're going to move this around a little bit. And they leave the room. My husband, I'm just sitting there, my breast out. My husband's holding
We're so used to it, though, after everything.
Exactly. my husband's holding my bra and my shirt and my purse.
Like, he's just standing there. Like, that's in the room. Justin.
What can I do? And then all of a sudden she comes and she goes, okay. And I was like, are we good? And she's like, we're going to call you an ambulance.
Like, so calm as can be, right?
So listen, I get a text from her husband. So we're at an urgent care and they're taking Jamie by ambulance to the hospital. I'm like, oh, it's happening.
I was like, is this, and of course immediately I'm like, is this necessary? I was like, we can just, you know, we'll head right there, I promise. Like, can we just like go ourselves? They're like, yeah, no, we're hooking you up to all these things. Yeah. I'm like, okay. These cute freaking firemen come in, and I'm like all like breast out.
That's how it always is.
It's so embarrassing.
You're like, I would have worn a cute outfit.
I said, I would have worn.
You're like, Justin, go home and get my cute bra.
This is my day wearing bra that's comfy.
So they, of course, then they lift me up from the sheet, you know, to put me on the gurney. I'm like, am I too heavy? Oh, God.
She's like, I'm losing weight, guys.
They get me in the machine. Of course, they can't get me the stick. Long story short, because this is a kind of a longer story, I get to the hospital. They do all the tests, the CT scan, chest x-ray, contrast, all the blood work. I do not have a blood clot. But at this point, fast forward, this is a lot of stuff going on. My heart rate was bouncing between 165 and 135 for over 8 hours.
Oh my God.
To equivalent, to put that into, some people never even get that high when they are running cardio.
People don't get it unless you've
So your resting heart rate most likely is in the 70s.
Okay.
To put it.
That's 60 to 80.
So it doubled, not only doubled, it went over that.
Major.
Over.
Major. It was pumping. And it wasn't pumping for like 30 minutes like that. 8 hours. They were getting increasingly more concerned.
Nothing
was working at this point. They tried tons of things. Even these things called, I don't even know what the name of it is, but I was like bearing down and blowing through a straw to like trick my nervous system. They were doing all the things.
It helps to lower your, because when wasn't you're working doing then. That, it helps to lower your heart rate.
Okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't working at all.
So tell them what they were going to do.
Yeah, so we were one step away. It's a drug, I'm terrible with names, but it started with a D.
Okay.
Basically, they inject it into your IV. The medication is only in your system for 30 seconds, but it does stop your heart.
Oh.
And then your heart's supposed to start back up. And it's supposed to get...
It's supposed to start back up.
And into the rhythm that it's and speed of which is normal.
It's like a reboot from the computer.
That's exactly what they call it.
It's basically like they're shutting it off and turning it back on.
Just like the IT department shuts...
However, it's your heart.
It's your heart.
It's not a computer.
Justin's eyes get big.
Of course.
He's like, here we go again.
And I'm like standing. I'm like, is this necessary?
I'm sweating. They're like, can we go
to the doctors that have been doing this for how long?
And I immediately start crying because in this moment... All I can think about is I snuck out of the house thinking my Apple Watch was stupid and I would be right back from the urgent care. And my boys were in their room. I didn't hug and kiss them because I was like, I'll be right back. And I don't want to scare them or make them nervous. Of course, I didn't get to put them to bed. They didn't know where. I felt horrible. And now they're about to stop my heart. And I was like, okay, I'm freaking out, truly. Finally, like, okay, we really don't like this. This is our last stitch effort. We're going to try one other thing. Whoever was watching out for me, they pumped me for another drug, starts with an O something. This lowered my heart rate. It did not drop it to a healthy range, unfortunately.
At least it did something.
But what ends up happening is they do not administer this other drug that starts with a D if your heart rate is below 130.
this got my rate bouncing. And when I say that, it was like a ping pong ball. So it was like 135, 145, 135, 165. Like it wouldn't regulate.
I'd say it's erratic.
Right.
It's an erratic.
So then it got down to 128, 116, 120, 128, 160. It was like,
so now it's ping ponging,
but it was below 130. So I didn't have to take that medication.
She didn't have to stop her heart. Thank God.
Which I was so excited.
Thank God.
So, of course, they get my cardiologist on the line. They're talking to him, da-da-da-da. Of course, I get released with my heart still fast.
Why would they release you then if it's still going?
Because it's below 130.
And they know she doesn't have blood clots. She's not having a heart attack.
So what was it then? They don't know. Yeah.
They still don't. So that's why she's on the heart monitor.
So basically, I go there. They do another EKG in the cardiologist's office. I fail it again. They do another test where they do like this different positions where I'm like laying down, sitting up, and standing up. And it I believe it means that I failed that because I'm up. What is the word? I'm obstetric, which means when I stand up, my blood pressure drops, but my heart rate races up, mm-hmm. which makes it complicated because for tachycardia, one of the most popular ways to help it is medication.
Yeah.
But because my blood pressure is so, so, so low, there is no room for me to take the medication mm-hmm. of botting them out. So I'm on this thingy on the heart monitor for 2 weeks. I have to wear this. And they're going to get a snapshot of really what it looks like. And what they want to see is if I'm going, for example, like from 90 to 128, if the graph looks like a vertical mm-hmm. line, or if I'm going 90, 118, 117, like that, and how quickly I'm getting there, because mm-hmm. it's going to change what happens. It was talked about in great lengths that an ablation is most likely mm-hmm. going to be what I'm going to have to do. They go in through your rib cage and they go to your heart and they snap a nerve. They cut a nerve to stop the misfiring of that nerve.
Yeah. So with tachycardia, it's usually like the sinus node in your heart is like misfiring. Mm-hmm. So I had it too when I was pregnant. And it's, so I know exactly how she feels. And it's draining. Because mm-hmm. it's like you're in constant activity. Like right. imagine if you constantly feel like you're running on a treadmill.
I was just
going
to say, like, I know how it feels when you're running.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're out of breath. It's draining. And then it's worrisome and scary yeah. because you can't do the things you would normally do with your kids because it spikes your heart rate. And then you're worried and then you can't breathe. And yeah. it's a vicious circle.
Yeah, it's really
So
really
it's like
scary.
Basically like, it's like what they said. It's like me running the Boston Marathon over and over again and not stopping.
It's draining.
And no wonder you're like, it was exhausting.
Yeah, I was tired. And so happened. Oh, and then I come home the next day. That's fine. I get on the machine. That's fine. And then that night, my dog that I've had for 14 years started having seizures that night.
That night, literally.
So I went to, no sleep in the hospital all night. Then my dog having seizures, didn't sleep again. And then my husband took the dog and they thought it, because he had diabetes, that the blood sugar, we weren't regulating. And so we started testing his ear and figuring it out. We thought we figured it out. Then Saturday night, it was done. Like he went into a seizure every 30 minutes.
That's awful.
And we had to unfortunately make the call to put him down Saturday night.
Sorry.
It was
on top of her heart.
Everything else.
And everything.
Yeah. So it was just been, you know what? It was not my week. It was a terrible week. And then you add stress onto working in real estate.
I know. Well, sometimes it's like that has to take a back seat. When
yeah.
you are.
But, and that's the thing is that, like, we're a team.
Yeah.
Like, Jamie, whatever I can do, obviously. So I was doing showings on Saturday. And
well, you went out on that Wednesday when I got the hot monitor on. But
they're great.
You nailed a client.
Correct.
Which was great.
I drove to Westminster. So it was about an hour and 20 one way. And it was a brand new client.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I went up that night and did it. And I mean,
I didn't want to cancel them.
No, of
yeah.
course not. And you know, that's the thing about having a team is yep. that we can do that.
Yep.
When you're solo agent, I can only imagine the stress when, never mind being a single mom, being sick, trying to do all those things, one has to give.
Yeah.
You're like, is it my health or is it my business? Because I can't really be healthy without money. And
right. Well, I think in those situations, because I can speak on that too.
Yeah.
Like, there have been times when I've been sick. There have been times like this past week when I've had to take over more than my share. And
how do you do it?
I might have to reschedule. if okay. it's an appointment mm-hmm. that I just have to tell them the truth that, listen, yeah. like right now it's a situation that it's like a family emergency or whatever it might be. Can we reschedule for the following week? If it's something that can't wait, then I just have to ask the brokerage to help.
Yeah.
Deb and Naomi would jump in a heartbeat. And if they can't, then we're so fortunate to have everybody else here to help. Yeah, but so it is stressful and it is hard because do want to be there for your clients and be there every day. And I found it, like, I struggled last week, I'll be honest, just being like, because I love to work.
Well, we can help love you. To feel and just productive. So you're, we're in this together too. Yeah. We have our own little tree.
We do. And I appreciate that.
And you know there's no strings attached. We would help you.
I know you would. And, and vice versa. Like, as you know, like, whether it was something personal or business related, like, absolutely. I'm always here, right? Yeah. And that's what friends do for each other.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful for that, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. I've been fortunate enough not to have something huge that has taken a toll on real estate for a long period of time, knock on wood.
Let's keep it that way.
And you make it work.
FYI, Jamie was at my house this morning, and there's other stuff going on in her life as well, and we had an offer not accepted, and it's going to be tough for our clients to hear, but I saged us. Yeah. So I might smell like smoke. We danced in sage. I'm not kidding. Because I was like, we need to get any of this bad
negative energy.
I was like, something has got to get.
And we literally danced, and then we went to a CMA with a client. I was like, she's going to think we were smoking. I smell it on me because I was the one like doing this.
That's so funny.
Let's sage our lives. And she's like, did you get enough? Did you sage me enough?
So here's the question. What do you ladies do to de-stress? Like, what is your go-to? What distresses you?
What's the start?
Do you have a ritual? Do you have a go-to? And how do you present your stress? Like, what are you? Do you sleep more? Do you sleep less? Do you eat more?
Easy,
do you eat
that's
less?
That's an easy question. Yeah. I don't eat. I poop my brains out. So some people internalize their stress. My belly does not like stress. For me, music is a stress reliever. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hugging my babies.
Yes.
Like really, truly, like just hugging.
Yep.
I feel like that it helps the touch.
Yep.
Talking to my friends, laying down, but I don't sleep when I'm stressed.
Me neither.
Like, because I love sleep and I can sleep 8 to 10 hours, but like I was telling Jamie last night, I was up from 11 to like 1:30, 2 o'clock. My head was going about this offer we had put in,
right?
Worried about her. Yep. I mean, her life is literally like it was just one thing after another. Like, I don't know if you want to say your uncle. Like,
yeah, my uncle also, he had an
last yesterday. Same, this happened
yesterday, same day that I had to put my dog down. He has, and I had to order a patch. It ruptured, so he has hours
to live.
Yeah, I'm on call right now.
And then like she got
I got married in his backyard, and that was just really cruddy.
And then this morning, so like I'm just worried about her because like it's one thing
happening all right now.
It's just been crazy.
And she's wearing her heart. So I'm like, you know, she's like my lifeline. Like we literally eat, breathe, sleep. Like this is
right.
Yeah.
How do I do it without
right.
her?
She's like your other half. Yeah.
My other half. Like, so when she's down and out like this, it affects me. And just now I'm starting to understand all the hell I put her through. When I was going through shit and she was stressing out for me. Now I finally understand.
You can actually walk in her shoes.
Literally. Like, I was like bawling on my way. We were bawling on the phone together yesterday. Like, it's, sad. You feel for that. You feel.
Oh my God, absolutely. 100%.
Like,
but well, like I've been listening to a ton of podcasts, and one of them was just like, there's a reason why when you get women together, their cycles just sort of line up, right?
Because we're in the same cycle.
We're in unity. Yes. Yeah. And like that, you feel for that other person because you want the best for them.
Absolutely.
And you want to be there for them and vice versa. And I think when it comes to stress, like it can,
so
it can ruin our lives.
Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting. Thinking about I could think about my career change a lot, right? And for a long time, I would wake up in the middle of the night, like, did I make the right decision? Oh my God, I need to go back. Like, I still had imposter syndrome for a very long time. I still get dreams about things and whatnot. But when I think about typically the Sunday scaries, first of all, and I don't feel that, that's a huge sign for me that a lot of my stress has gone.
that you made the right decision.
Correct.
Because you shouldn't have Sunday scaries.
And it shouldn't feel stressful all the time. That's right. I got used to the stress, and they said that stress is very, addictive. Mm. I guess your cortisol can be just as addictive as picking up a real addiction.
Wow. And
I thought that was very fascinating.
I did not. Yeah, that is fascinating.
And not that this job doesn't have stressors. I just feel like it comes in cycles. Like, yeah. If you have a stressful situation where you're waiting for an offer to figure out if it's going to be accepted or not. Because we want that for our clients so badly. Or if someone's going to list with us or something like that. You know, are we going to get a commission check? Is it going to go all the way through to the end?
Finances are going to be the number one stressor in life in general. Yeah.
But, like, I've also realized, too, that, like, that's not good for my health. Like, a couple weeks ago, I think I told you guys, I don't remember if it was on the podcast, that I felt so sick to my stomach over something that was happening that I was physically ill. I was like, this is not okay.
That's how I deal with stress.
It's not okay. Yeah. I was like, because what is that doing? In the end, like, if this falls apart, there'll be another deal. And that's the way I have to sort of reframe everything now, is that, like, I cannot be doing that to myself. No. It's not good for me. It's not good for my family. It's not good for the people I interact with, my friends. Like, just not healthy.
Well, it can make you irritable. It can make you snappy with your children, too.
Right, and, like, displaced anger, which is not okay.
And it's not fair,
like,
to them.
No, of course not. So just like you, too, like, music is definitely a huge help for me. Being outside, I have found, is big for me. Gosh. Going for a walk or just enjoying it. Like, we've got a nice screen and porch, just sitting out there in the mornings when it's nice out, like going for a run, like just things like
Do you do anything that's unhealthy when you're stressing?
Yes, I eat.
Some people eat and some people starve. Like
I starve.
I starve too.
It's not good. Starve. I don't eat when I'm stressed because I'm sick to my stomach. Again, mine is my intestines and my stomach, clearly. Yep. Just
because
it's
a physical reaction to how you're feeling.
See, it's unlike you guys, I'm a sleeper when I stress.
You go the opposite way.
I like want to hibernate. I don't even want to be on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to people.
Yep.
I want to like just hibernate in. I want to take my boys and my husband and just like cocoon.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I want to sleep, but I don't eat. I have no appetite.
Yeah.
And I just want to like not talk about it.
Yeah, shut the world out.
Yeah. That's how I really go in when I'm really stressful.
Mm. And there's so many things we do to protect ourselves, right? I find it fascinating, like, listening to like all the different, because this one woman, she's a doctor, and I've been listening to a lot of like ADHD things, just because between me and my son chews a shirt, and it's been a habit he picked up like probably 6 or 7 months ago. I've asked his pediatrician, like, what can we do, because he chews it so badly that it gets holes in it.
Wow.
And we have to throw his shirts out. It only happens when
he has an oral fixation.
Exactly. Yep. And when he comes home from after school.
Was he a passy kid?
No.
Oh,
that's weird.
Isn't it? So he'll come home and he's 7, right? Nothing is from school. Everything's fine from school. He'll come home. He'll be like on his iPad for a little while just to kind of like, you know, relax.
Decompress.
And decompress. And that's the time he does it. And so we've bought
the
chewing
necklaces.
Does he
know he's doing it?
Nope.
Oh.
Doesn't have a clue. We have the chewing necklaces. He hates those. So I've just been like, you got to take your shirt off because you're ruining your shirts. You got to
take them off. So there's also these bendy straws that they can pull on.
He might like that.
Yeah. So because my son, with his speech when he was younger, they gave this thing, and it's like a rubber thing, because it would help strengthen his jaw, because they were finding that his tongue and everything was too big in his mouth and when he was like 2. So there are things that you can.
You'll have to send that to me, because I will get those. I'll do anything. I got him lollipops so that he could
So if the shirt isn't on, does he go to something else? Or
isn't it interesting?
That's interesting.
So it's not like he's biting his nails then. He doesn't move the oral fixation to something different.
So maybe it's not an oral fixation. It might be a comfort thing.
That's what I'm wondering too.
So
yeah.
I will say, I dated a guy who would do this, and he dug a hole in, not dug a hole, but his hair was completely gone. He didn't even know he was doing it. He would just be like this and doing this on his head.
Yep.
And he was in his 20s, didn't even realize it. And he made it to the point where hair wouldn't grow there.
Oh, and it's awful because you think, noticed that I've done things over the years to sort of cope. So like picking my nails or biting the inside of my mouth, things like that. And it's our way of taking the stress and doing something to get it out.
Or
is it release?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm fascinated by this. I just think it's our bodies tell us, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's feeling physically sick or... feeling like you get a cocoon, whatever it might
be.
Yeah,
I cocoon. I'm a cocooner.
When my daughter Summer is stressed, she hits things.
So get her into kickboxing, boxing, right? No, really, I love kickboxing classes.
Yeah. So instead of like getting physically sick, she just goes like it just.
She's gonna get it
that
out.
Energy just comes out,
yep.
And then it's like, okay, let's talk. And then, like, I have to redirect now that we've learned. And a lot of times it will happen when you can tell, like, she hasn't eaten.
Yep.
She's tired. Yep. Those are the triggers, like, that just make it even worse. Right. And then, but luckily it has been transitioning. Thank God. Yeah. It is so much better than good. It was.
So what do you think helped?
Recognizing that she does need to eat every 3 to 4 hours, making sure she's on top of that. But also, I kind of take a step back.
Yep.
When she...
double down.
I don't double down. I take a step back. Because I'm realizing she's releasing that energy. Yep. And then I say, okay, let's talk. You need to verbalize. Because she's not verbalizing.
Right.
Like, she wanted me to unbuckle her shoe today or something this morning. And I just happened to be walking up the stairs. Didn't know. Because she pointed.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, a stool went flying. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, what just happened?
Right, right.
Like, what's happening? Yeah. And then I was like, you need to tell me.
Yep.
And then what I do is I redirect. I said, aren't you excited? You have cheerleading in 2 days.
Yeah.
Fine.
Totally fine.
Yep. Boom. Gone.
Yep.
I was like, you need to tell me. And as soon as she said, can you help me with my shoe? And I said, cheerleading, it was over.
She's 4?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking about Mia too. And that girl does not have a problem verbalizing. It's no, like the opposite.
Either does Austin. Austin isn't over verbalizing.
Some right. people are over, and some people, she will internalize and just look at you because she's more of an observer. She watches everyone.
Yeah. But it's good she needs to verbalize because if she keeps holding it in and not telling people what she needs, you're right. So that's so smart that you're teaching her to do that.
Yeah. But that was something that we've been working on for years now.
It's getting there. It's getting better.
She's getting so much better. Like, she'll actually, if you ask her a question, she'll actually answer you. Whereas before, she'd just look at you.
Yeah. Well, and they, every year they mature and grow.
And they get right. They get older and they
and guess process. What?
Yeah.
And I always used to say this when somebody was like, oh, my child's hat still has a bottle, or they're using a binky, or they're in pull-ups too long. And I was like, guess what? They're not going to go to high school with any of these things. No. They're not going to, like...
And no one will ever ask.
And no one will be like, when did
on your
child...
job application.
Were you breastfed or you bottle fed? Like, no
when did you have a binky until?
Sorry, we can't accept you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
So guess what, Mom? Mom's out there. Just hang in there.
Seriously.
And don't worry about it.
Everything's a season.
Yep.
Yeah.
And everything.
And nothing
so
stays
Jamie,
the same.
Yeah. So you don't eat.
I'm not an eater. I'm a sleeper.
What do you do? Because I just brought up a list to share with our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
How to alleviate stress.
Love it.
So some things. So I just want to go over. So this is actually one of my number one things that I forgot to say is I laugh. Laughing helps me. So calling a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying, listen, I need watching funny memes, like funny videos that just make you laugh of people falling down. I know that's so hard.
It might be my favorite.
It's our favorite. Like the one with the banana when they fell down the thing.
Oh, so
did you guys see the one, the Amazon review? This woman.
No.
This woman.
Oh, yes. About her falling down the hill.
And she posted an Amazon review about how wonderful these, like,
the
whatever
pants
it was.
Never
the
pants ripped. She was like, I felt like little, you see her falling down. That's her picture, her review.
And they didn't rip.
They didn't rip. So, like, laughing more. So that can...
of course.
Whenever
because it releases.
Laugh, it releases. Yeah. Connecting with others.
For sure.
Meditate. Eating healthy obviously helps. Getting active. I feel like... taking a walk, like you said, going and working out if you can, doing jumping jacks, anything like that.
My kids, we do those movement breaks. Have you guys seen them on YouTube?
Yep, because
they do them at
school.
They're like a race, and you're trying to get through things. They love that stuff.
Yep, keeping a journal, musical, counseling. If you really truly feel
get help.
I think everyone, and I feel like with insurances, it's different, but I feel like everyone should have a therapist. I feel like everyone should because there are things, it's life.
Yeah.
We need help. We all need help. We all need people. And if you don't have a support system and you don't have someone, friends you can call or family, I rely more on my friends than I do my family because my friends have become my family.
Yep.
And like you, if you don't have that support system, I highly recommend reaching out and getting help and getting someone to talk to. There was something.
There's no shame in it.
There's no shame.
Oh my God, no.
There's no shame. And I don't know if you're on this real estate page and if you even saw, but yesterday I saw a post that was really upsetting from another real estate agent. And she said someone in her brokerage had taken their life.
Oh my gosh.
And there were no signs.
Oh my gosh.
Oh gosh.
It was a male. And he was a veteran.
Oh my gosh.
If you have no one to, and she was like, I just wish he reached out and he said something and he asked, and just reach out. Whether it's a professional or anybody, please reach out. If you are so stressed to the point where you're thinking, there is a hotline, there's other things that you guys can do.
I think that people think that they're so alone. Like, I'm the only one that feels this way, you know, like.
Some people are alone. Some people are alone in the sense where, especially with like veterans and single mothers and stuff, where they are alone in the sense where if you, like, I will tell you this, I do not have one divorced friend around me. Not one. And I have a lot of close friends, and not one is divorced or a single mom that I can call and be like, how are you doing?
Right. This? So that you can relate to that. Correct. Really? I'm not surprised
one,
by that.
Not one. My mom was, but she's dead. But do you know what I mean? Like, there's none of my close friends.
So you can be, because the thing to call somebody up and be like, how are you dealing with this right now?
Not one. Not one. So sometimes it is isolating because like everyone does have a partner or they do have someone, or they have family, and I don't have that.
Right.
So it is, it's tough, and I can understand. And there, you know, I deal with stress and anxiety and depression. And there are times where I have 100% thought I was alone. And I know I'm not, but I 100%. So even the most positive people can get there. And it's usually the ones that are smiling around you that are the saddest.
I know.
Right.
And that's what sucks.
Because they don't want to show anybody.
Correct.
Yeah.
They never want, and I always felt like a burden.
Right, because you're like, oh, I don't want to unload this on somebody else and make them feel bad. And
it's not fair. Like, and the reason I'm sharing this is because I know that there are other people out there feeling this way.
Absolutely.
And they're the ones usually with the smiles on and they're happy and no one would ever see it. And this person who took their life over the weekend exhibited that. Right. It's just like Robin Williams and like people who are always trying to make others laugh and stuff. So please reach out for help if you are stressed, if you are feeling alone. You're not.
Right. Right.
You're not. And it is a permanent solution to a temporary problem.
Yeah.
It is.
Seriously.
It really
so
is.
What is your de-stressing look like? Because I don't think we've talked about that yet.
Like I said, I cocoon. And so I just
am. I feel like she goes into shows. A little bit.
But what helps you? What helps you get out of it?
Hanging with my boys, playing board games.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm.
Distraction.
Like, yeah, distraction.
I am a huge, and I mean, people say they do this, but I really, really do it every single day. I'm a huge gratitude person.
Yeah.
I write it down every, there's not a day in the last decade I haven't done it.
It's amazing.
Every single day.
Do you keep a journal?
Yes. Every day I say what I'm grateful for before I start my day. And when I say what I'm thankful for that happened that day.
Yeah.
And even in the hardest days,
mm-hmm.
I have something to be grateful for.
Oh, yeah.
Even Sunday when we lost our little pup, I was grateful that I have a partner in life that allows me to be vulnerable, that
mm-hmm.
lets me crumble,
and
that he feels safe enough with me to crumble.
Yep.
And that was it. And it was a shitty day.
Yeah.
But I had, even in that darkest, awful moment, I saw what I have in my partnership that was, it was something that is to be cherished and loved and grateful for. And that's the thing. And so for me, I don't really get really low very often because I've put in so much work into the other part, because it's really hard to go low when you are so grateful. And and let me tell you, there are circumstances and other things that are medical stuff, balances that make that much more, and you should get the help, and I am a pro for all of that. But if anyone has the ability or the want to start doing gratitude practice, I'm telling you, it helps you on a daily basis, and I really believe that.
Everything that you listen to, read, watch about changing your mindset or beliefs.
1,000%.
It always starts with gratitude.
Always. There's a bunch of gratitude journals for kids, for adults on Amazon, but also to an implementation, I can't even talk, was we talk about the highs and lows at dinner every night.
Yeah, I love
so,
that.
So, and
yeah.
I always, did I spring this up?
You did, but it's I think it's amazing
so
that you do that.
You don't have to have a low, but you always have to have a high.
Absolutely.
You always have to find the good in the day.
Because even in the worst days, there's something
there's
good.
There's something good because
even in the very, very worst.
It's true.
So.
And
that's really what I do. I double down in that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, where is this going to come? And I knew immediately on Sunday where that was.
Yep.
It was that, oh my God, I have someone in my boat with me.
You know, it's so easy to go down a path of like something bad happens. Well, then that triggers. Well, then this bad happens. Mm-hmm. And then da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, now you're thinking about only the bad things that are going on in your life. And I can see how that creates a victim mindset, right?
Yeah.
But you don't even realize it. And I think, I can't remember. I did look up the statistic, but there's something like the amount of times you tell your brain you can't do it or this is bad or whatever, it takes like 100 of those positive thoughts to change the framework in your brain. And I'm like, I can absolutely see that. And to no one's fault. I mean, we just have to be aware of our brain and aware of what we tell ourselves every day.
And I think also
it's powerful.
Too,
it is
very
powerful.
And I think also too, even you can be the most positive person, but man, oh man, when you're getting, when it's that time of the month, I don't care. It can throw you a curveball.
Oh, and at hormones?
Girl, I don't even have a uterus. And I still got those ovaries and nowhere to fly. Last week when I was sick, I was miserable.
Yeah.
I just knew.
Yep.
Because we're on the same cycle.
Yep.
I texted her.
You're like,
did you get your period? She's like, no. I go, it's coming. I go, because I was like, even my poor boyfriend, I was just like, I just didn't feel like myself. Yeah. And I couldn't get myself out of that rut. And it was the no sleeping, the sick.
Yep.
And then I literally wanted to smack myself in the face and go, what is wrong with you? And be like, snap out of it. And then finally on Friday when she got her period.
Like, I said, because I always tell her, I'm like, oh, I started.
And I go, oh, I know, I did on Thursday in my mind.
Because
my hormones, so I have dealt with that. So I got my period at 9. And what happened was my hormones would literally like spike and then drop so low.
Have you ever had a hormone?
No.
See, I want to do it too.
Yeah.
Because I think mine.
Well, maybe we should all get hormones.
How do we do that?
You just, couple things. You can get it done, sent blood to home, blood work, or go through your primary.
Interesting. I've had like a thyroid, but I've never had like.
No, this is other hormones.
Oh, yeah. I've never had that.
Because they can, that can change everything.
So they should have done it when I got my period at 9, because my mom brought me to the doctor and was like, this girl goes batshit. But like the week, like 3 or 4 days before, it was out of control. Like, and I've always dealt with it.
See, so, I've never had PMS.
Yeah, girl. What do they call a unicorn?
So full disclosure, I have PCOS.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you guys
that. Yes, you have.
And so because of it, my hormones are all over the place and I never can predict when things are going to happen.
Did you have trouble getting pregnant because of it?
No, so they put me on birth control when I was young. I was like 21, 22 when I found out. And she was like, I'm really surprised you have PCOS. I never would have thought that, but I'm glad we tested you because you weren't showing any of the signs that we normally would see. But you do have it. And I'm like, well, what does this mean? She's like, well, it can mean, like, first of all, it means that your hormones are kind of out of balance. It means that you may have a hard time getting pregnant. We won't know until you start trying. And so that was always in the back of my mind. And when I met Mike and we got married, I was like, we need to try right away. And I was like 28. I knew I wanted kids anyways. And because I was like, this could take us 2 years. It could take us 5. It could take us 10. We don't know what's to come. And I got pregnant really quickly. So it was very surprising because they were going to put me on metformin.
Oh, metformin,
And she's like, let's just see what happens. Give it some time. And I'm glad I did because then I didn't have difficulty with the other two. Very surprising to me because I thought I would. Yeah. So the ovulation kits that they have was really my hugest thing. And I bought something.
So you don't need to
wait for your blinking smiley face. Yes.
But even better than that, and I wish I had bought it to begin with Wesley, they have this kit. I'm going to... next time we do the podcast, I'm going to give a shout out to them because it was for anybody who's having trouble ovulating. This was one of the best things I ever did. You wake up every morning, you pee on a stick, and it will show you on your phone exactly where you are. And it will show you all the way up to the very tippity top. So it's the most accurate out of all of them. And it was like, I don't know, $150-$200 for it.
Yeah.
But it was way better than any other kit out there.
Okay.
It was
the most reliable. Awesome.
So anybody who needs that.
Test your hormones in the morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like when you're pregnant, you figure out.
But you have to be consistent. You got to do it every single day at the right time. Like, you know, you got to be on it. But it was definitely. Yeah. So growing up, I never really had an issue. I was always very athletic too. So I think that played into things as well too. Then once I had my kids, my hormones have just, I've changed so much and I've like had a lot of crying spells and like
it's the worst.
Anxiety has gone up and things that like sometimes I'll snap and I don't even know why I'm snapping at someone. It's just not,
I recognize so I'd like to it check and that. Know, and I'm like, this isn't how I would react normally.
Right.
Like, this is right. not, and I knew. And I knew I was like, I'm being a brat, or I'm overanalyzing. Yep. Like, it just, and I can feel it now and recognize it, and I like, I know.
You know what to do.
I'm like, I gotta take a step back.
Right.
I don't want to say something I don't mean.
Right, right. Yeah. And it's good to recognize mm-hmm. that. But yeah, it's hard though when you're like in the moment and mm-hmm. you're like, sometimes you feel like you can't help it. But I definitely want to do that hormone.
We should do the hormones. We'll dig in. We'll research that because that'd be a fun
I still thing. Got those ovaries.
Yeah, that's right.
Freaking ovaries for those hormones. You know. But hey, whatevs.
Well, everyone, let's make a pact that we will do something to distress this evening. Like something, listen to music, laugh with a friend, go for a walk.
I'll tell you, that Margarita Monday that we had.
Was that the best lesson?
That was so needed.
Margarita Monday was, when I tell you, it is sometimes like, and I'm not saying alcohol is the answer, but just leaving to have lunch. Oh, and being outside,
mostly being with friends.
That was it. That's what I'm saying. It's not the margaritas. It's the fact that you can.
I could have had an iced tea in a motel. Just correct. As good.
Absolutely.
And just sitting and laughing and camaraderie.
I mean, margaritas help though.
Yeah. I still dream about that blood orange.
That blood orange margarita with the sugar on the
vine. I'm just saying.
Anyways,
shout out to Sol de Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, ladies, well, listen, we're all going to de-stress.
Yeah, something
You're
today.
You're in it with us. We are all human. Yep. We're excited about next week as well.
Yes. So next week on the podcast, we're at number 14, ladies. Woo! What? Title is Dare Me. And I think we've all been there because the word is resourcefulness. Mm-hmm. And the quote is, you are built to handle the pressure that comes with your calling, which is, I just can't wait to unpack that.
Absolutely.
I know that all three of us, and I am sure all of you guys can relate to this, that when someone says you can't mm-hmm. do something, all you want to do is prove them wrong.
Absolutely.
So instead of saying, hold my beer, I'm going to say, hold my margarita.
All right, ladies, hands in.
Moms in real estate. If you enjoyed listening to us, we would be so grateful if you could subscribe, review, and share our podcast with others. And we have an email address that you can reach out with any questions, feedback, or topics that you'd like to hear us on our podcast. And that email is momsinrealestatepodcast.com. So that's all one word, momsinrealestatepodcast.com. And we have an Instagram, momsinrealestate, that we will be posting lots of pictures and different topics that we've discussed on our podcast. So please join, follow us. We'd be so appreciative of that. And tune in next week. All right. Bye, friends.